I'm Andreas Lundstedt, and this is Building Bridges Podcast. Take it away.
Welcome to Building Bridges. I'm Sebi.
I'm Jan.
And I'm Dave.
And this is a Eurovision podcast for the rest of us.
And this isn't just any podcast. Can you believe it's podcast 120?
No way.
Wow.
I know.
Didn't we just talk about like 100 episodes like 10 minutes ago?
Pretty much. We've been busy. So I think it's an opportunity and a time to thank everybody who has been listening again. And we have a lot of listeners in Singapore, of all places. So I thought I'd give a shout out to you if you're listening in Singapore. You must be really hardcore Eurovision fan, because no matter what time zone anything's happening in, it's literally in the middle of the night for you. It's even worse than for Australians. So yeah, thanks for listening, and thanks for being a Eurovision fan, I guess.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
But yeah, I think Singapore is very international, right? Probably a lot of Europeans working there too. And
yeah,
I would move to Singapore and still be a Eurovision fan. Both, I wouldn't reject either.
No, you just have to watch everything at 3 or 4 in the morning. But yeah,
the sacrifices you take in life. But anyway, we are building a bridge to Sweden, I guess. I would even say to Malmö Arena, where we just went a couple of months ago, because Deltävling 3 is taking place in Malmö Arena of Melodifestivalen, of course.
That took place in Västerås last week.
Oh, it's 4 already. That's right.
I know.
I always forget that it's 5 heats now. I still have the 4 heat system in my brain somehow. But yeah, it's heat 4, of course, but it's still in Malmö Arena. And we talked to Andreas from Alcazar, who is going to perform first in this heat with Vicious. And I guess we were pretty excited, especially, you know, with his current, you know, with his performance in Malmö Arena at Eurovision as part of Alcazar. I think it was very exciting to see him just a few months later.
Yeah, and I was initially very worried for him because they put him first in the running order. But if this year's anything to judge, some of the songs that have gone first in the earlier heats have actually done quite well and have moved on. So it's not the curse to go first anymore this year. So he might be in a good spot.
I think also, usually the heats, the first and the last were the two who advanced to the final.
And also, like, if, well, not speaking of the semifinals, but like in Malta, Mariana, she started on the final evening on the position number 1, and she ended up winning the whole thing. So yes, I mean, I'm so excited that we are talking to Andreas this time. We had a really, really funny chat with him, and I'm sure to all of you listening will be enjoying it as well. So, but before that, I think we should give a little sneak peek of... No.
We can't, it's not out.
Of course not, never mind. Okay.
Yes. We'll link it to our socials when it comes out on, I guess, the snippet on Thursday.
So yeah, we had a lovely time talking to Andreas ahead of his, I believe it's 10th performance at the Melodifestivalen.
I think so, but I'm not even sure if he remembers at this point.
And
it's like,
yeah,
Marcus Riva and Supernova, you know, you just stop counting. Yeah.
at some point you just forget it. So let's go and listen what Andreas has to say about his upcoming performance at Mello.
Thank you so much. I don't even know where to start. Your resume is so long, you know. Eurovision contestant.
I'm sorry.
And guest act and spokesperson and Melody Festival, and the list goes on and on and on. But it's so good to have you here.
Thank you.
So, Andreas, you had like a remarkable career in the music industry over the years. Yes. Could you share maybe with us how your journey began and what actually inspired you to, you know, to realize that you belong to and with music?
Oh my God. Well, I've always wanted to sing and dance in my, since I was like, I remember when I was 5 years old and I said to my, well, I was dancing in front of my father. I was doing steps, making up steps. And he said, you know what that means? That means that you're doing choreography. Maybe you want to be a choreographer. And I said, yes, I want to be a choreographer. and I want to sing and I want to dance. Like, yeah. And I, every night when I was young, I was so bad in school. I was not interested in school at all. I was just fantasizing, seeing myself being up on a big stage with a lot of people, a big audience, smoke, lights. And I was dreaming and manifesting that, I think, for years until I, you know, turned 14 and I did my first TV job when I performed on TV. So yeah, it's been so natural for me. It hasn't been, you know, I love my parents because they never said, when they asked me, what do you want to be when you grow up? They never said, like, when I said, I want to sing and dance. They never said, yeah, well, maybe you should just, you know, get an education or do something else. Just, they were like, always, if that's what you want to do, that's what you're going to do. And maybe they saw a slight talent, I hope, as well, when I was singing.
Hopefully.
Every freaking day in front of them and my grandmother. So, yeah. So it's been like that. And then all of a sudden I got to do Melody Festival in 1996, which is crazy. And I have so much to thank Melody Festival for my career, because, you know, it formed my career, my to become famous in Sweden and Alcazar. And, you know, I'm very thankful for especially Melody Festival, because it's such a great window for an artist. And I've been there 9 times.
Wow.
Going on 10.
Very soon.
And, 11 if you think of Eurovision when I was a Swiss for a while. 2006. Yeah, so it's been, you know, that's how it started. I decided I wanted to do it and I got to do it and I'm still doing it, which is mind-blowing sometimes when I think about it, but yeah. I'm very happy.
Well, I think most of our listeners might know you best as a founding member of Alcazar that you just mentioned, even though you had been to Melo before then. You got so big, so huge. What do you think it is about Alcazar that really helped you blow up and become so big?
The music, the songs, but also that we had always had a message like, it's okay to, it's more fun to vacuum with a boa or in high heels. It's more, you know, we're very campy, but we didn't think we were that campy, but then people said we were campy, so we're like, okay, whatever. And that we just wanted to spread love. I mean, Crying at the Discotheque, our biggest hit. I mean, we always said that it was like tears of joy on the disco. And, you know, just have fun and escape from reality sometimes. And the best way of doing that is by listening to Alcazar and just, you know, dance your troubles away. Yeah, kind of.
Is there any entry? Because you said, you know, Melody Festival, and it's going to be your 10th time. And is there an entry that was like your favorite to perform, or one that you look back now and think, oh, I loved performing this song?
Yeah, I think, that's so difficult. Okay, if I would say in performance wise, it would be so many songs I don't even remember. No, Blame It on the Disco, because it was such a, you know, coming from that disco gigantic disco ball, opening in the arena. I mean, it's crazy. It was so expensive number. No, but it was worth it, and it was so much fun. But song wise, I would probably say Not a Sin Nor a Saint, because that's also a song that you know, made put Alcazar on the map in Sweden, thanks to Magnus Carlsen, because he came from his group Barbados, and he took all of his fans from Barbados to Alcazar, and we were not that, you know, famous in Sweden until 2003, because Sweden never got our campiness and our thing, except for the HGBTQ people community. So yeah, I mean, I have so many different, like, I have love for all the numbers, but I think also as I got older, it was 11 years ago I did the last time, but now I am so much more confident in myself and in, just, I know why I want to do this. I have a why more, maybe, than just like, I want to do TV. I want to be famous. Now I just want to, I do it for the love of the music, but also because I think I have something to say. I also just want to keep spreading joy and good music.
Yeah.
And I think we're in for a treat. I'm pretty sure about that. But just before we get vicious, maybe we should talk about those 3 minutes that made you Swiss, like almost 20 years ago. Was 19? Yeah.
So I don't know.
The whole thing came about. So how was that experience for you getting there?
It was crazy because Ralph Siegel, yes.
Yes.
That, you know, the big. He's very famous in the Eurovision and, you know, world. He called me, well, his people called me and asked if I wanted to join this group that they were going to call 641, with six different artists from six different countries. And in Switzerland, I don't know if they do have it now, if they have like a competition in Switzerland. Or are they just sending one song to Eurovision?
Nowadays, it's usually the broadcaster selecting it internally.
Yeah, nowadays, that's kind of like it was now. Yeah. They just asked, Ralph, can you write a song, blah, blah, blah. They're going to, So for me, like, getting that question, like, one, do you want to sing for Switzerland? I thought it was a bit strange at first, but then they're like, two, we're going straight to Eurovision. I'm like, yes. I'll be there. Three, it's going to be in Athens. I'm like, tough one. Yeah, so it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun. It was 20 years ago, so I was more, we were kids, kind of, like young and hungry. And, you know, I mean, it didn't go that well with the song, but we didn't care. We had so much fun during the week. And the only one that really was heartbroken, of course, was Ralph. I remember he was asking me when we were sitting at his luxury hotel and he said, Andreas, why didn't we not win? And I was like, maybe because the song wasn't the best song. I love the song, but even back then it was kind of a little dated, maybe. It has a nice message and all. My husband loves it. He still is like, no, it's amazing. You know, it was kind of We Are the World song, but maybe it wasn't that. It wasn't that kind of. It was Hard Rock Hallelujah year.
Yeah.
So, but it was. I'm so happy that I did it. It's crazy.
So sticking on the Switzerland theme, of course, Eurovision will be in Switzerland.
It will. So, wouldn't that be funny if I go to Switzerland and be like, hey.
Well, that's what we're wondering. Like, was this purely coincidence or was this planned when you found out last year it's going to Switzerland? You've got to come back.
God, no. No, I didn't think of it about it at all. Wish I should have, but I know. I didn't. But then I didn't want to do Melody Festivalen ever again, I think. Well, that's harsh to say, but I felt like I've done it so many times, so why would I do it? I work all the time anyway, and but then my friend and the guy, label, record company boss, he said, don't you want to do Melody Festivalen again? And I said, nah. I mean, it has to be a good song, of course. Like a song that I can be really proud of. And, you know, that no matter what happens, if I go to the finals or not, and just, you know. And then he put me up in this writing camp with all the riders you can imagine, like the best of the best, which was nerve-wracking for me. But I went there and I just had ideas, and I just then told them my ideas, Laurel, Liamo, and Dino. And they put they made a song. It's crazy. And, you know, so no, it was not planned. But then I realized that isn't that fun that it's Switzerland and it's my 10th time. And if the stars align, the rides, who knows? Yeah. You never know. I'm just going to go out there and have a lot of fun. And I'm sure people will have fun too with me.
Yes. So that's how Vicious was created. You just gave that away, and you said you have a story to tell. So what can you tell us a little bit more about the
song? Yeah, of course, Vicious? Of course. I mean, yeah, the story. Well, I wanted to talk about or sing about more celebrating your sexual freedom. Like, I think we are so good at putting labels on each other and on people and on ourselves, which is okay, but it's like gay, straight, this and that, bi, blah, blah, blah. I believe, I mean, we are sexual beings, which is beautiful. And I believe in, why not celebrate that? And for me, going more into detail, it's the song Vicious is more about like when you find someone, when you meet your match, like or someone, or your freak, or your you know, your person, or someone, I can have fun with you. I can be myself. I can feel free sexually and in any, you know, level, which is beautiful. It's of course it's a little bit about me and my husband, but it's also like let's just, you know, let's not judge. Let's just put labels. Just you know, be free. I fall in love with people daily. It doesn't mean that I have to fuck them. Sorry, but you know, and I allow myself to do that because I think it's beautiful. And we're on this earth, this short amount of time, we're alive and we are dead. Let me just this long amount of time. So let's enjoy it and celebrate.
Yes.
In what way you want to celebrate. And I just want to, you know, bring that out. So it's, and the vicious, it's, I mean, vicious can be, it's not a negative word, but usually it's used by like, oh, he's a vicious person. But this is more like, oh, you're vicious. Yeah. Like, you're a little, you got some, which is, that has the, And that was actually Laurel. When I was talking, I don't know what happened, came over me because I wrote with different writers. I think I wrote 4 or 5 songs, but in this session, everything just came out. I was like, I want to talk about blah, 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 sexual revolution. I'm like, celebrate the sexual freedom. And Laurel was like, I love this. And then she started to like play with words and like, you're vicious. Ah, you're a little bit vicious, aren't you? And then I was like, that's a great name. That's a great title for a song. Because it doesn't give away much, you know. You don't really not now. You know what it's about. But yeah, so yeah, I'm very proud of it, and also that it's really my idea, and the number will be totally like how I've seen it in my head, which is I'm very proud. So whatever happens, doesn't matter.
Wonderful.
we're less than a month out now from Mello starting. I'm sure you've already thought about what you want this to look like on stage. Can you tease anything yet?
Ooh.
And maybe what you're thinking doing this alone without your girls by your side, without Lina and Tess?
Yeah. I mean, they are totally supportive of it, of course. I love them to death. And they're very happy. They love the song. They have heard it. What can I tell you? What was the question? What I can tell you about the song? About the
numbers. What is going to look like without giving too much away?
Yeah.
You don't want to get in trouble.
Exactly. I don't know how much I can say. It's going to be sexy, but it's not going to be like in your face sexy because I don't know. It just, it's going to be playful, sexy. I'm not going to be alone on stage. I want to sing. For the first time, I don't want to catch my breath in this. first chorus. I just want to be first thing, and then maybe I will move around a little bit. Yeah, I could tell. It's gonna be hot. I think it's gonna be very hot. But it's also borderline between, you know, sexy and cringy. So it's you don't want to be too in your face, but you don't want to be too secretive. So it's like, why don't you go a step further? So right now we're playing with me and the choreographer playing with like how far you would go, and I think we will find out when we have rehearsals.
Yeah,
like the cameras. Like, okay, if it's a how it's how they will film it.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, so we'll see. So it's a work in progress, which I love. I love to change things in the last minute. I don't mind doing that. I can like change steps 2 hours before if I need to, or you know, stuff, as long as it's for the better. I'm so excited.
And so are we. But we definitely have to talk also about this iconic performance which happened last year in Malmö when you guys performed during the Eurovision final.
Yes.
You guys tried so many times, you know, and it was so well deserved that you anyhow made it to the stage of Eurovision. How was that all feeling and love from the fans over the years?
Yeah, it was... amazing. It was just to be asked, first of all, to guest at the Eurovision. I mean, and to do a song which is not a Melody Festival song, but do our biggest song, and for us to just go out there and just receive the love and not think about competition, I hope I remember the words. I mean, we've been singing this song, at least me and Tess, for I don't know how many years now. And it's kind of the same choreography as it always been. So we just could be really, really in the moment and really have fun. And, you know, and doing the Eurovision, I'm like, it's such a, how do you say, so everything is like this. You just go from... Yeah, and we just went from like all of a sudden we're on stage and we're like, great. When we rehearsed, and we're like, oh, we're done. Okay, let's go up and have a glass of wine. You know, see you tomorrow. And then we did it. and the love, it was so much fun. And it was also a nice, like, sometimes we do think like, I wonder if people really remember Alcazar now when Alcazar doesn't exist. Well, they do. At least the Eurovision fans do. So that was also like a recipe on like receipts that people remember us.
I have to personally thank you as a Canadian who, unlike European fans that like, you know, the fans in the UK and Spain and Greece, they can just take a flight up to Stockholm and see Melfest whenever they want. For me, it's like 2 days of changing planes and... It's very expensive. It's hard to do. So when Sebi and I were actually at the press rehearsal, the first rehearsal, and we heard the first beats of Crying at the Discotheque, I think I screamed. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to see Alcazar. Finally.
No, that was bizarre. I remember watching it at Euroclub in Malmö this year, and it was like the amount of energy which fulfilled that place. I think you can do that with just any song or with any act. And I think Alcazar really left like a significant mark. You know, both European markets and beyond,
Thank you.
I had to take a video for my stepfather immediately because he was a DJ in the early 2000s and he loves Alcazar so much.
Love your father. Excited. Yeah. Wow. Thank you. Love boost. I love this. Keep it coming. Not joking.
Yeah, so thank you so much for joining us, first of all.
We're
not fully done yet.
Not.
We can continue as long as you want.
Actually, I have to go to the doctors. I had an infected toe. Can you believe that?
Really?
That's not sexy.
No.
But it's vicious.
It is,
It's so annoying. So I'm going next to the doctor to show him my ugly toe. Well, what are you going to do?
Better soon.
Thank you. I will. No problem.
We wish you all the best, Andreas. Thank you so much again for joining us.
Thank you.
This is around the corner. Me personally, I'm so excited to see it because it will be my first Mellow live And
oh, you will be there in person
on the final. Oh, so
yay! I hope I get to the final then.
Yes, oh, we are pretty sure about that. So thank you so much again, and best
thank
of luck, Vicious. And
thank
we
you
will
so much.
Obviously, watching whatever you will
thank
be
you.
Doing, both solo and with the band. So take care.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much to Andreas once again. And yeah, it was a really nice look back. You know, it's not just an artist from some national final that we just found out about, but he's really Eurovision royalty. You know, he's been in the family so long and he's done everything. He's competed, he's been a spokesperson, he's been eliminated in the national final. I think everything you can do at Eurovision, he has done in a way.
Been internally selected to go to Eurovision too. I mean, he's an absolute one of the top Eurovision queens.
The Ralph Siegel song too. What a classic! Yeah.
And also out of Eurovision world, you know, like with Alcazar, you know, chart topping, you know, back in 2000s and late 90s, with their huge hits that we all know them today as well. So it was a huge honor to have him over, and I really am excited to see what he's bringing to the stage this Saturday.
Right, so thank you so much for listening. Please check out our website, buildingbridgespod.com, and also make sure to follow us for more updates on our socials, which are at buildingbridgespod pretty much everywhere. And don't forget to tune in next time again.
Take care, bye-bye.